when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning. Good evening, good afternoon to all you people, all you loyal people out there. We love you so much at Blood River Radio Land. That's right, you've tuned into Blood River Radio. And in case you don't recognize my old gravelly voice, my name is Eddie Miller. They call me the Bombardier. Some people call me other stuff. St. Jude, they call me Papaw. But anyway, on this show here, you can call me the Bombardier. You can just call me Eddie. But it is, as you well know, it's January the 9th. I can't believe that this is the second show we're doing already in the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2021. I mean, time is just flying so fast. And Sam said something, but I couldn't understand what he said. I guess I was talking to you. What's that you said, Sam? Go ahead, Sam. Oh, well, I was going to tell the audience what Sam said, but I guess Sam doesn't get shy on me. Hey, Sam said that. Some people call me racist, but Sam called me a great wonder one. Anyway, folks, y'all comment anything you want to. But like we said, it's the second show of this year, and we have we could just dwell on what happened with the presidency forever and ever and ever. But I have my own theories on that. We'll break most of that down the second hour. I'll make this quick before we go to the prayer. We're going to have Miss Rachel Pendergraph on in just a few minutes. She is one of the big coo-ha-has with the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan over in Harrison, Arkansas. And I was just telling Sam and this precious little Bethany, Papaw's girl, what a kind, gentle, sweet lady she is, highly educated. She just got her master's degree, getting ready to work on her doctorate. We're going to have her on in a few minutes. And the second hour, we're going to have Gene Andrews on. He's my one of my right-hand men, coach. We're going to have Lee's going to be coming on before too long to ask questions and stuff to help me out with this show because I need all the help I can get. But anyway, people, you know what we always do. We're going to be ready to say the prayer because Blood River Radio, we can't do anything without prayer. I mean, we just rely on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and God Almighty to help us get through each and every day. And I tell you what, He's blessed this radio show. So, people, I'm going to go ahead and shut my mouth. I'm going to go to a quick prayer before we bring our guest on. Almighty Father God, thank you so much for bringing us through yet another year. I know the world is going crazy. It's going straight to hell. It looks like that the evil Luciferian Bush will be communist or winning. But in the end, you know, I know it's a cliche, but, you know, Lord, you win in the end. And when you win, we win. And we're probably going to have to pay a price. We may be martyred, but that's what it takes. That's what it takes. But anyway, oh, Lord, thank you so much. Thank you again. Let us be successful in this radio show. Thank you, Liberty News, for broadcasting us. Liberty News, Blood River Radio. Please bless our partnership, our brotherhood, Lord, and let us come through this year and do nothing but your will, Lord. Everything we do, let us do your will and give you all the glory. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, how are you doing tonight, Miss Rachel?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. It's a cold day here in Arkansas, but hey, my spirits are bright, and I'm looking forward to the new year and whatever it has in store for us, and I'm ready to go.
Well, I was out running today. It was about 85 degrees over here. I got a severe sunburn. I was out running yesterday over in the park, and I was just telling one of my friends, called me today from New Jersey. He actually listens to this show, believe it or not. And I was telling him, man, I'm so stove up. I froze my butt off. I was running through Overton Park yesterday and met up with two younger guys and ran 2 miles with them. And, I mean, they were burning it, man. And I ran 2 miles on my own, 2 miles then, 4 more miles by myself. And I tell you, I was just stiff as a log. But it's cold over here. It's but you know what? We'll always heat it up on Blood River Radio. So, Miss Rachel, I was just telling the people how proud I am. You just got your master's degree. So tell the people all about your master's degree, what you got in, and you're getting ready to go and your work on your doctorate. And also tell them what we're going to talk about tonight.
Right. Well, it's a master's degree in history, and I'll be starting my doctorate this coming fall. So other than that, I'm just kind of mums about the rest of it, but I'd like to go ahead and get graduated. So anyway, but yeah, it's just, you know, it's not that I really needed a lesson in history from Marxists in the university system, but it's just really to help the credibility of the small Bible college and school that we're working on establishing here in the area. And, you know, with the Knights Party, we have, over the course of the last 30 years, we have had numerous leadership schools and workshops and, you know, month-long seminars and things like that, just to help educate people on constitutionalism, some biblical principles, establishing enclaves for believers, things like that, things that can help motivate but instruct and guide young people to kind of be able to dig their heels into the present climate that we're in, but also some tools to help forge ahead and to be kind of, you know, people of influence in their areas, wherever they come from. And so we're hoping to establish this more as a long-term annual type school. And so just my degrees are just to kind of help lend more credibility toward that.
Well, you know, like I've told the audience before, this is not the first time that the precious Rob family, and your maiden name was a Rob. I was considered you a Rob,
right?
Even though you're pentagraph now. But,
right.
I've told people about this beautiful building you have on the campus up there at the, I call it the compound. It's outside of Zinc, Arkansas, outside of Harrison, Arkansas.
We just call it Bible camp.
Well, that's kind of boring. Let's don't call it a Bible camp.
Unless you're the Kennedys, you know, compound kind of conjures up all these, you know, we don't have any sniper towers or anything like that. We do have a nice playground.
Well, the walls up there are about, what'd you say, 40 feet high? The wall around there, 40 feet high. They're made out of marble and stuff. No, just kidding.
Yeah,
but, you know, it's a beautiful, beautiful building.
Yeah, we wish.
Rachel, are y'all going to... Hey, wouldn't it be nice? But it's a beautiful, I've told the audience before, it all reminds me of all the world of the Greek Parthenon. You know, it's white, beautiful building. Are y'all going to have like a school in that building when you get that building totally built, Rachel? Is that going to be like the school for kids?
The building, I call it a school. Some people are referring to it as a library. My dad also often refers to it, Pastor Rob often refers to it as a museum, but that's because all those things are contained within it. So we have a library, it's not finished yet. We have all the books and so forth. We've inherited several libraries over the years of rare, out of print books, good racialist books and things about political theory and Bible and things like that. So we've got a real good, rich library to put up, but then also a museum with a lot of archives and different memorabilia. Basically, what we're going to be doing in this, utilizing it as a teaching mechanism but also opening it up to visitors, is we're going to be doing a timeline from the founding of the United States as a white Christian country in law. You know, that's what it was formed to be, was a white and Christian country. And we're going to follow that timeline up until the present day, showing basically those individuals, organizations, and groups who have fought to keep it white and Christian. And then highlighting on specific years. And we have, you know, I mean, there's people, we don't have archives from Thomas Jefferson, we wish, other than, you know, things that already may be available to the public. But a lot of the great organizations and groups and individuals, Elizabeth Dilling, Colonel Warnock, Colonel Simmons, Gerald L.K. Smith, J.B. Stoner, Dr. Ed Fields, Richard Butler with Aryan Nations, Don Black, Howard Rand, just a whole slew of people that we've been collecting archives from for numerous years, because this has been a long time project. Basically, we want young people and visitors to be able to have their memory jolted, because I was at a National Solutions Conference, great conference put on. It was a joint conference put on by Council of Conservative Citizens and the American Freedom Party with William Johnson down there in Tennessee. And it was really surprising to me that so many people there, they didn't even know who Dr. Ed Fields or J.B. Stoner with the States' Rights Party was. And these were, like, I thought, seasoned individuals, not William Johnson. Of course, he knows who those people are, but just attendees. And so it's really been a shame that so many people don't know the struggle. You know, they think it's just something that people have been fighting against for the last 5, 10, 15, 20 years, or maybe a year or two or something like that, not understanding that this Marxist agenda against our nation, against Western Christian civilization, is, you know, many centuries old, as you wrote in an article for our Crusader a couple of issues ago. This is a long-term battle. And so there's a lot of good people that's been fighting the fight, and we want our heroes to be recognized and remembered.
Miss Rachel, we got to get a quick break.
People, all right, I heard that music coming.
We're going to be right back with Miss Rachel Pendergraft for the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan in just a few minutes. Be right back.
This is Attorney Jason Ruff, General Counsel of the Knights Party based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, "If those people," referring to the dictatorial federal government, "if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home." As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
I remember that song all too well. That song was back in my day, man. Back in the days. Well, anyway, folks, as we said earlier, in case you're just tuning in, this is January the 9th in the year of our Lord and Savior 2020. You are our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the only name under the sun by which man can be saved. And we're going right back to Miss Rachel Pendergraft. She's a lot more educated than me or Lee. We have Lee on the phone. He's listening in. He's going to be listening for a while. He's going to ask some questions to Miss Pendergraft. Miss Rachel, maybe you can educate me and Lee on the phone tonight. But, you know, maybe this will be an accelerated program to get us to have a weekend.
Well, we'll just all educate each other. How's that?
Well, you know what, Malia is like me. We mastered in Ubonics here in Memphis, but because we're here in Mefrica.
Right.
Anyway, I was going to say, golly, what was going to say? Oh, I know who it is. Exactly, I know. Are you like the coordinator for the night's party? I know you're one of the big kahunas up there, but I don't know exactly what your title is. I know Pastor Rob, I know he's like me. You'll have to tell him where he is sometimes, so he's getting old. And everybody has to tell me where I am because I'm old. But what is your title up there?
I was elected by the membership in 1993 as National Membership Coordinator and then subsequently National Organizer. That's pretty much it. I kind of do a little bit of everything. I work organizing units, work with our newspaper, websites, work with media, oversee stuff in the office. Just whatever needs to be done, I just try to get in there and help make sure stuff gets done and try to delegate out a lot of things because there's so much to do. You know, possibly everybody here can't do it all, so we've got like a lot of great volunteers around the country, a lot of great, you know, men and women that are really devoted and are able to put in some hours each week just helping with websites and writing and recruiting and just a little bit of everything. We're just really grateful for a lot of great people out there.
You know who impressed me more than anybody? I've been up there 2 years. I was blessed and I was very honored of being invited up there for 2 years in a row. It was just everybody should go. It's so relaxing. The people are so nice. It's just like you come back home. But the one person who I think impressed me more than anyone is someone who's so easily overlooked and underestimated. Is your dear mother. I was up there this past Labor Day, and I'm always the earliest riser, and I was waiting on the coffee, and she made the great coffee, and that woman has worked her butt off. I said, this is the person holding the whole organization together right here. You know, it's not Pastor, it's not Jake, it's not Jason, because does Jason ever do anything? I mean,
everybody's got their part to play, but you're right. My mom is just a wonderful person, and she's been, you know, it's interesting because my mom's got an interesting story herself. She was the youngest person to ever enter chiropractic school in the nation at 16 years old. She was going to chiropractic school in Los Angeles. This is back in the mid-60s, and just shy of 6 months of graduation. And for those that know, chiropractics are glorified massage therapists. They've got a very rigorous medical education. But she was just 6 months shy of graduating, and she was. They found out she had end-stage leukemia. And so she quit school, went back up into the northern Sierra Nevada mountains where my grandparents lived, just to kind of live out her days. My grandma, she was like insistent that she was going to get her back on her feet again. Got into some natural health stuff and a lot of good mountain air and prayer and so forth. And she made a full blood work. She was recovered totally. No spot of leukemia at all after 6 months when she went back to the appointment where she was supposed to have been dead. And that kind of like changed her life because instead of going into like a medical career, she went to a Bible school in Colorado outside of Denver in a place called Evergreen, Colorado, that was founded by a guy named Kenneth Goff, him and his wife. Kenneth Goff was a second commander of the Communist Party in the United States and became a Christian, testified the Martin Dies Committee against the communist infiltration in the United States, numerous assassination attempts. He lost a leg being pushed in front of a subway by some commies up in New York, So he went and started this school in Colorado to help train young people, kind of like what we're wanting to do, against communism, to fight for America, God, race, faith, and nation. So my mom went to school there, and that's where she met my dad. And so instead of her going off on this path towards, you know, career and so forth, she met my dad, and they made a solid connection and decided on a mission to fight for our people. And so they have been in this since day one and moved from out west when I was just about 3-4 years old. And one of my brothers, Jason wasn't born yet, moved out here to the Ozarks because they thought it was a good centrally located place. Lots of white people, a lot of history of white resistance in the area and sympathizers and so forth. And so they came out here and focused on building the ministry. And then after my father joined the Knights when David Duke was national director back in the late 70s, they've continued on this trajectory of just bringing a message of hope and deliverance to our people, and a message of hope, but also a message that, you know, you have to resist sometimes also. You know, everything's not just going to be placed in your lap. But, yeah, so my mom has been there right along the whole way, not as a silent partner or anything like that. You know, I mean, she's a good, dutiful wife, but she's got her own mind and her own ideas, and her experience and her insight and intelligence has been of paramount importance to every endeavor that we have ever set out on.
You know, one of the things that impressed me about your whole family, and this isn't, I'm not, you know, being a big cheerleader. Well, I am a cheerleader. It's with y'all's family, you know, the one thing that kind of is y'all share in common, everybody in your family, is y'all work, man. I mean, y'all work y'all's tails off. I'm not kidding you. And so people will know I was joking about Jason, I don't know how he gets it done. He cuts grass, he builds fences, puts up sheetrock, has a law practice. But all that aside,
and five kids.
That's right.
So he's somewhere.
He did. We may spend by that boy a TV. But anyway,
yeah.
Getting back to the school, now what is the long range goal? Are you going to have like a grammar school? Teach like a.
No, this is going to be more for like your 18 to 20, 22 year old, maybe upper high school age. Just that. That young adult age group where they're still very idealistic and haven't really become jaded by the political friction and devastation that we see in the world. Because, I mean, sadly, a lot of times once people get a certain age, they kind of just feel like nothing's, you know, there's no hope, everything's useless. You know, to hell with everybody out there. You know, they've put in their work, they've tread their 10 miles, and just kind of give up. And we want to really get these young people at that age where we can, you know, really give them some really good instruction and guidance and send them out as missionaries. I mean, that's what our family's all been about since I was just a child and so forth. Our family, we consider ourselves missionaries to our people. And so we want to duplicate that, you know, fishers of men. We want young men and young women that can go back to their communities, upbeat, resourceful, fully dependent on God, but not jaded, and ready to work with like-minded people in their areas and other families and create these, you know, these communities of like-mindedness to help persevere through these dark times. And we don't know what's going to happen, you know, tomorrow or the next year. I mean, I'm sure you're going to be talking about this, the whole political escapade we've got coming up in the next 4 years. And we don't know what's going to happen, you know. But we want to help.
Well, Miss Rachel, we heard the music coming.
Yep.
We heard the music coming. And can you stay one more segment?
Sure.
Hang, okay, people. We're going to keep Miss Rachel over for another segment because we didn't get through with her. So hang on to your seats, people. We'll be right back, and we're going to bring Lee Cochran on after this segment.
News Wire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
As coronavirus cases continue to surge across the nation, President-elect Joe Biden wants to release most of available coronavirus vaccine doses to quicken the pace of mass vaccinating the American population. As far as if this move will accelerate the pace, Dr. Nicole Sapphire believes,
I'm not sure that it's smart to release all of the supply, especially because at this point, out of the millions of doses that's already been sent out, we've only been able to get about 30% of them into the arms of Americans. So what is sending out more supply going to do at this point? What we really need to be doing is expanding access to the vaccine that we already have.
That audio courtesy of Fox News, Arizona resident Jake Angeli, who was seen wearing horns and a headdress at the riots on the U.S. Capitol on Wednesday, has been arrested on federal charges. You're listening to USA Radio News.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand and you care about your credit, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 6 million people with credit card debt. Without destroying your credit, they can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. The program works. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-406-0046. 800-406-0046. That's 800-406-0046. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services, Inc. 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 80092. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation. Commission License Number DC 83. Service may adversely affect the individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges. Charges or collections activity, including legal action, not a loan company.
Kim Jong-un has threatened to build more nuclear weapons.
The North Korean leader says the fate of relations with the United States depends on whether it abandons its hostile policy, according to state media reports. Kim made the comments and disclosed a list of high-tech weapon systems under development during a key meeting of the ruling party this week. President-elect Joe Biden has called Kim a thug and criticized his meetings with President Trump. Trump began talks with Kim in 2018 to disarm, but talks broke down when Kim requested sanctions be relaxed. From the USA Radio News Oregon Bureau, I'm Jeremy Scott.
The Mega Millions jackpot is rolling over to $600 million. The numbers for last night's lottery drawing were 3, 6, 16, 18, and 58, with the Mega Ball 11. Lottery officials say no one matched all six numbers, but there were several million-dollar winners. Saturday's Powerball jackpot is set for just over $470 million. That drawing set for Saturday night. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, people, thank you so much for holding on. We're starting our segment of, we're starting our third segment on Blood River Radio. And we are with Miss Rachel Pendergraft. And I'm going to ask Miss Rachel a couple of questions, and we're going to let Lee. Lee's been listening patiently. He usually asks better questions than I do. Miss Rachel, when you go out and you evangelize to the people, I'm asked a couple of questions, I guess, a three-part question, if I can remember everything I was going to say with my absent-mindedness. When you go out to evangelize the people, other white people, what message what would be, say, the main parts of the message that you try to get over to the people you're trying to recruit in?
Right. Well, I guess it could be boiled down to this, basically coming from Matthew and Luke, and something that my dad has really emphasized in his ministry over the years, and that is love God and love your people, or as Christ said, love God with all your heart and mind and soul and your neighbor as thyself, which we know is referring in Leviticus to our own racial kinsmen. So the message is very simple. It's love God, love our faith and love your people. And that, as the Bible says, that, entails all the commandments. So treat our white brothers and sisters with kindness, with respect, with esteem. Look for things that we can do to help them discover a little more of what is needed in this world. help inform them, just help be a friend to them. As many people have said before, a lot of times a person doesn't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And so it's really just being a Christian, being a good white Christian man or woman, and letting that light shine to others out there so that they will look to you as a trusted man or woman of faith, of good conduct, of good report. And, you know, everybody has a different moment, a different aha moment when things kind of click, when they kind of look around and see things happening in this world and begin to ask questions. And you want to be able to be that person that they might look to help, you know, fill in the blanks. And so I think it's really important that we just conduct ourselves as good Christian men and women, and that we always, no matter how disgruntled or despondent or how gloomy or despairing the world looks, no matter how many times it seems like our people won't listen, like maybe we should just give up on them, God doesn't give up on us, and we shouldn't give up on them. And even if we look at the adults out there and might think to ourselves, heck, they're never going to listen to us, just let them get what they deserve, there's kids out there, you know, there's young people, there's children, there's a new generation. And, you know, also I like to remind, and I always reminded my children of this, and now my grandchildren, you know, sometimes we also have to remember that, you know, when God sends a missionary out, and I think he calls each one of us to be a missionary, we're not instructed to win one or win two or win three or win four. We might not win anyone, but we're instructed to keep the faith and to keep going. And sometimes we have to think of this as ourselves being tested. You know, are we going to give up or are we going to stay in the fight? No matter, you know, a prophet, and I'm not referring to us as prophets, but in the Old Testament, a prophet was called to go out and continue witnessing no matter who listened to them. Their job was still the same. You go out and you be a missionary to your people and you carry a message to the people. And if they don't listen, then their blood is not on you. But if you don't do what God says, then their blood will be on you. And I think that's a very powerful thing that we need to remember in our lives, that we're called for a reason. Our eyes have been opened for a reason, and we need to be very determined about where we place our focus in our life, and it needs to be to God and to our people.
That's about as eloquent an answer as I've ever heard from anybody on any subject, that's for sure. I have one last thing to say that we'll bring Lee in. Rachel, would you give the website and tell people how can they get in touch with you? How can they get publications? For instance, I just received the Torch in the mail today. It's the fact I got it so late in the mail, I haven't had time to read it. Tell people how they can get in touch with you, Rachel.
Okay.
What can they get?
Well,
can they get a paper? How do they get a paper, et cetera?
Sure. Well, as a spokeswoman for the Knights, website address is kkknationaloffice.com or kkk.bz. But I also work with my father and the family in our church, which is not affiliated with the Klan, but, you know, we do our political thing and we do our religious thing. And that website is christianrevivalcenter.net. So if you want a little bit more religion, and go to ChristianRevivalCenter.net. If you want a little bit more of the political side, go to KKKNationalOffice.com. And then we have a news site, which is AltRightTV.com or WhitePrideRadio.com. So, or you can Google Tom Roth. That might be the easiest after all those addresses. Anyway.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm amazed. That's great that you have, I mean, as long as I've known you and your family, well, I've been coming up there for 2 years. You know, it just dawned on me that the church is totally separate from your KKK, from the Klan organization. That's incredible, because
I'm the same way. Well, I'm not that way, but I wear one hat, like several hats. I wear one hat for the St. Jude. I'm what they call a St. Jude hero. I run marathons for St. Jude. Matter of fact, I'm getting ready to get in training to run my first 100-mile run. I'm
going
to
get donations for people. Yes.
Yo, you better know it. I tell you what, when I walk into St. Jude, I hang my political hat on the wall. Mm-hmm. I hang the bombardier hat on the wall. I'm there for the kids, nothing but the kids, the whole kids, you know, the whole thing. And I'm a different person there. When I walk out of St. Jude, Blood River Radio guy, but I may be a breakaway running guy. I run with Breakaway Running. Breakaway Running is the official training partner for St. Jude Heroes. So I do many things. I can identify, but I'm not as hardcore Christian as you people are. Now, so we got that out of the way. I was going to ask you if you're teaching your people about communism, but before that, I'm gonna pass the ball to Lee because he's been hanging on a long time. He's got some questions to answer. Lee Cochran, my buddy, what are you doing, fella?
I just want to ask Rachel, like you were going to say, I would encourage Rachel to teach him about the communist and globalist tactics. And teach them about the long-term conspiracy because, you know, there's a lot of, like, the dialectic. They do a lot of tricks, like, you know, and I'm sure she can, you know, I'm sure she knows a lot of them herself, like they did up there at the Capitol, using Antifa to spearhead the commotion.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, because there's a communist dialectic, and they do all sorts of tricks. But you can fight, if you're alert to them, you can warn people about them and counter them.
Right,
but, you know, and you
well,
can,
and you know, and I think that's important point that you put out there, Lee, is because a lot of times, for some reason, our people seem to think. Well, they look at what they feel are failures, and so they sometimes feel the need, especially when dealing with young people, they feel the need to adopt the communist or Marxist operandi, and you know, they feel that getting in people's faces or violence or, you know, boots on the ground or, you know, any type of destruction or so forth is going to somehow have some effect, and it does for a certain amount of people, usually more leftist-minded people, but our people are a totally different, they don't respond to things like that, and I'm not saying that there doesn't need to be a tough-minded approach, but you know, you don't have to put all your cards on the table, you know, and, you know, people, our young people especially, they need to be taught not to be reactionary. They need to be taught the ways of our people. Our people are very compassionate people. So if they look at white people out there behaving like Antichrist or Marxist or behaving in a non-noble way, that's not really going to help them respond to our message. And, you know, I think that's why, you know, they talk about, you know, the church being built on the blood of the saints. It was after a lot of destruction. I hear that music again.
Yeah, we got that music. By the way, I picked that music myself, that particular song. People will be right back in just a few minutes. We bring old Lee Cochran back on. He's got a big old beard. Maybe we show that beard on our website for too long. Be right back, folks.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ had been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust. and who the true covenant people of God are and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these this means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the courts of divine justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Folks, I had to let that music run a little bit long because I sure like it. I picked that music myself, 1930s, in one of my favorite countries, Germany. And so I had to let it roll a little bit. But I'm going to ask Rachel a question, and I want Lee to listen to it too, because I'm going to throw a quote out there from Scripture, and I'm going to get Rachel to break it down, then I'm going to get Lee to chime in and see what he thinks it says. Okay, this is out of a King James Bible. Okay, folks, "But ye are a chosen generation, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that he should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." What do you think about that, Miss Rachel? What does that mean to you?
Well, to me, looking at the word generation, it can also mean race. To me, it means that we're a chosen race, a chosen people, a peculiar or separated people, a people called to take dominion on this earth, to fulfill the dominion mandate, and to show forth the promises of God, and to be supervisors of this realm. And we haven't done it, but we're still called on a mission to do it.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're sure trying, Miss Rachel. You know, I guess you could say we were called to be good stewards too. I don't know, but
yeah, right.
going back, Lee, you know, did you know, a lot of people wouldn't know by looking at Lee with his big old beard. Did you know he used to be a Sunday school teacher eons ago? But anyway, Lee, I like to pick at Lee. I love him, Lee. We've been through thick and thin. We've been through a lot together. We got kicked out of a Jewish congressman's office once. But anyway, Lee, Lee remembers that day. He wished he could forget it. Lee got out of hand that day, and then he tried to get violent. Anyway, Lee, what do you think about that? I'll read that again in case you wouldn't listen, because I know you're
okay,
like me, you're
okay.
Old and you.
Yeah.
It says,
yeah,
but you.
That's
ye,
true.
Oh, you got it down? Did you get it down?
No, go ahead. Say it again, Eddie.
Okay, here we go. It's like, Lee's kind of like me, like Gomer. Say it again. But but ye are a chosen generation, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that he should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. By the way, that's 1 Peter. So, First Peter 2:9. Yeah, right out of the good old St. Peter. So what do you think about that, Lee?
Well, that sounds, you know, pretty good. And that peculiar, you know, now, I don't know if you want to update translation. It would be better. Well, I think it would be unique. When I think peculiar now, it seems like, well, you're peculiar. That means you're weird.
Well, that would fit me and you. But anyway, that's a good
point,
because
yeah,
me and Lee, that's the way we got Rachel here tonight, because me and Lee ain't got no education. But Lee just got her a master's degree.
Lee's got her master's. I mean, excuse me, Rachel's got a master's degree, and so we kind of help smooth our rough edges out. Well, I think that's a good. I think y'all responded back good.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think Lee put out a really good point out there, Miss Rachel. The communism. Mm-hmm. Now I know this old guy. He's another old guy. He's not as old as I am. His name is Sam Bushman. He's one of these big anti-communist fanatics. So like we are here on Blood River Radio. You know, with this recent election, I wasn't going to get into the election or anything, but I'm going to ask you a question. Then we'll let Lee break it down. This recent election, in my opinion, this is the gospel according to Papaw, according to the Bombardier. I think what we saw was a complete takeover of what General Nick Glasnevik likes to refer to as a Bushelvik, Luciferian Bushelvik communist. We just, they've taken over the United States. It's not coming. They just got through, they took over our government, the entire machinery apparatus, the United States government. And Rachel, I know, probably preaching to the preacher, but you know, there's nothing more diametrically opposed to Christianity than communism. And I know Sam and me talked about that on the radio last week or 2 weeks ago. But what do you think? How is this new communist takeover of the United States government going to affect you and your in your organization you're with the National Knights, Miss Rachel?
Right. Well, you know how it affects us, that really remains to be seen. You know, one thing that I do wholeheartedly believe is that this will just help to promote our cause further. You know, we've been, since the mid-90s, have been really focusing on the balkanization of America and looking at the racial breakup of America into you know, different geographical areas, as we see the coastline areas and the big, large urban areas of America really become a majority non-white, and we see an influx of white people into your rural areas and the heartland and so forth. And we see this as really a mechanism towards a rebounding of our people, because just as there are secessionist movements in California, down in the Deep South, there's blacks that are wanting to secede and form their own nation. We have a huge influx of Asians up in the Northwest and up above New York and so forth. We really see a racial balkanization happening in this country. Another reason my parents moved to the Ozarks here. And as more and more people begin to basically thumb their nose at the federal government, I think that we're going to see a very strong resurgence in states' rights. And not just among conservatives, but among liberals also. We have to remember here a few years ago, when they were really trying to promote gay marriage in California before it became, you know, allegedly national law, there are a lot of people fighting for states' rights in the homosexual regions in California, believing that would be a way to support gay rights. But just the idea of states' rights and balkanization, combining that together, and more realization that the federal government is really at odds with the majority of white people in this country, I think we really are seeing a swirling vortex, which is why we feel it's so incumbent on us to really move forward and press upon the minds of people the importance of family, of congregating in rural areas, of building enclaves, building communities. We've been promoting this for several decades now as part of our school and so forth, of really refocusing, because I don't think that the federal government is going to be able to have the longevity that it really wants. And in a vacuum, I think that we're going to have a good, solid opportunity in a lot of these areas of the United States to really build upon that momentum of a decay of the national government and replace it with something else. And I think, you know, that's something that we're building towards. You know, I'm a Southerner, but I love our Constitution. I love our Declaration of Independence. I love Thomas Jefferson. I love the intention that they had for a white Christian country. And as I see the hordes of invaders into this country, now both homegrown and yet still coming across our borders by plane, trains, and automobiles and so forth, I see a future in which our people are going to be forced to make a decision. And, you know, part of our organization, the church I'm involved with, the volunteers around the country, the focus of our school is all galvanizing towards that opportunity that I believe the Lord God Almighty is going to give to our people. And I believe it is our duty and our job, not just the Knights or the church that I'm with, but of our people as a whole out there, I believe it's our duty to put ourselves into the best possible position so that we can grasp that opportunity when God gives it to us. And I don't think he's going to give it to us until our people have no other way out but then to realize that they need the mercy of Almighty God, and that with his help and assistance, then they can raise themselves up and be the mighty warriors that God intended them to be.
Wow, now I know why you have a master's degree. But you know, that's great. Just, I wish I was that eloquent. Dr. Michael Hill, one of my brothers, and one of the guys I look up to, he says some of the things you say. He says we should spend more and more time on our knees praying. He said, but once we're done praying, we have to get up and do something. And to kind of paraphrase Gene Hackman in The Poseidon Adventure, when he played a priest, a Catholic priest, he said something like, God doesn't like losers. God wants winners. God, and I've always said God, and I think God hates a coward. God hates cowards. He wants people with courage. But I don't even know if I have time to read this. My webmaster sent this to us. I'll try to read this. I hope it doesn't take too long. I'm going to get you to break it down and get written. Because I think we got time to do it, and we get you to break it down right quick. Like, he's talking about the election, and I'm going to see how this fits in with what you just said. Our webmaster says this: the way I see it, this is a worse is better scenario. He's talking about what happened with the election being stolen, with the demographic situation deteriorating each and every day, and Trump doing nothing to stop it. Acceleration is desirable. He energized white Americans, at least to be patriotic in a civil, nationalist sort of way, and managed to make it clear to anyone with ears to hear and eyes to see that the system is broken, completely corrupt, and illegitimate. I give him credit for that. A stepping stone. Now the genuine American nationalist needs to get organized, take action, seize back power from the communists who have overthrown our constitutional republic. He said, it's not going to be fun. It's not going to be pretty. But it needs to begin in earnest as soon as possible. And is far preferable to a continued slide of gradualism into oppression and a certain annihilation. What do you think about that, Miss Rachel? Is he right or wrong?
Well, first off, I don't like the word acceleration because of what a lot of people have been using it with as of late. Basically meaning people to accelerate or do what they can to accelerate the fall of the government and so forth. And, you know, I don't think we need to try to accelerate anything. I think our enemies are doing that good enough on their own. What I advocate, and, you know, this is going to sound perhaps too timid to a lot of people out there, but it's what we refer to as the Jeremiah Protocol. And this is when God's people, which I believe was the white race, I am Christian identity, but when God's people were taken into Babylon, and God told Jeremiah told the people that while you are basically under the gun of a foreign enemy, that, okay, I hear that music again.
Finish up real quick. Give us 20 seconds.
Build families, build businesses, build communities, build your people, grow your population, and prepare to fight when God calls you to fight. But don't look for the fight. God will bring it to you.
Excellent, excellent answer. Thank you, Miss Rachel. I will be getting in touch with you real soon. Thank you for coming on our show tonight.
Right.
People, hang on tonight. We're going to the second hour, transition second hour. Me, Lee Cochran, and Gene Andrews. Be right back.
Nothing.